The next article is the report on the churchwide assembly. It's called We Are Church. The 2019 churchwide assembly makes historic decisions. And this report was assembled by many reporters and content editors of the Living Lutheran. Gathering under the theme We Are Church, more than 900 voting members met August 5th through the 10th at the Wisconsin Center in Milwaukee for the 15th ELCA Churchwide Assembly. In her welcome, Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton gave thanks and encouragement for the assembly's work that week, saying, "The psalmist says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and sometimes the fearfully gets in the way of the wonderfully. There is still work to do." The assembly heeded her call, making several historic decisions with definitive support throughout the week, the first being their enthusiastic re-election of Eaton as presiding bishop. She is the first ELCA presiding bishop to be re-elected on a first ballot. The gathering saw other firsts. Sue E. Rothmeyer was elected secretary, making her the first deacon and woman to hold the office in the ELCA. The assembly also adopted a memorial declaring the ELCA a sanctuary church body, making it the first denomination in North America to do so. Other major decisions included adopting the Faith, Sexism, and Justice social statement, endorsing a policy statement for the church's interreligious relations, approving a strategy for the ELCA to exhibit racial and ethnic diversity, and naming ordination as the entrance rite for ministers of Word and Service. The assembly was marked with lively floor debate, including parliamentary challenges and motions, to adjust the daily schedule to allow more discussion time. The successful end of Always Being Made New, the campaign for the ELCA, called for celebration among the assembly, as did the observance of three anniversaries, the 50th of the ordination of women, the 40th of the ordination of women of color, and the 10th of the ELCA's decision to remove barriers to ordination for people in same-gender relationships. The next assembly will be in Columbus, Ohio in 2022. This is more about Sue Rothmeyer, who was a deacon and who had served as executive for the administration with the office of secretary for 7 years, and she was elected on August 9th to 6-year term as secretary. She is the first woman and deacon to be elected ELCA secretary. She was elected on the fifth ballot with 509 votes. Lamont Wells, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Roosevelt, New York, received 402. Rothmeyer, age 60, is a member of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Chicago. She received her bachelor's degree in English and speech communication at Luther College in Decorah and a master's in communication arts and rhetoric from University of Wisconsin in Madison. After graduating, she was a lay campus minister at Iowa State University in Ames for more than 10 years. In an interview with Living Lutheran, Rothmeyer said early leadership opportunities, serving as a youth member of her district council in high school and as secretary of the Southeastern Iowa Synod when she was 28, enhanced her understanding of the church's breadth and ignited in her a passion for involving youth and young adults in the life of this church. This passion called her to work with churchwide organization in various roles for 17 years. Before her election, Rothmeyer told the assembly her vocation has been shaped by attention to words and the word. When I lead workshops on the model constitution for congregations, I like to point out that the required sections are part of every congregation's governing documents because they speak to the ways in which we are church, we are Lutheran, we are church together, and we are church for the sake of the world, she said, quoting the president's four emphases. And that's true of the Constitution for synods and the constitutions for our whole church. And while those documents contain a lot of words, those words are informed by the word. On August 9th, the churchwide assembly voted 863 to 26 to approve the social statement Faith, Sexism, and Justice, a call to action, and its implementing resolutions. The social statement, in part, confesses patriarchy and sexism as sin, names the resources of the Lutheran faith to address this sin, and calls the Church to action and new commitments on a range of issues, including gender-based violence, workplace discrimination, and economic inequality. For too long, women and girls haven't been able to see God's reflection in ourselves, said Bethany Fayard, a member of the ELCA Task Force on Women and Justice. One in Christ, from the Southeastern Synod as the statement was introduced, this social statement is a declaration of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that we stand with all women. Here I stand. Let us stand together. The 2009 Churchwide Assembly authorized the development of this social statement, and 10 years later, national conversations on sexual misconduct, gender justice, and institutional sexism are much more widespread and dominant in the news. I've been waiting all my life for this. From my childhood, when I was told I couldn't be a pastor, said Jessica Christ, then Bishop of the Montana Synod. This is for all of us. This is for the whole church. This is for all humanity. Adopted amendments, including adding American Indian and Alaska Native religious identity, intended to expand the list of intersectional categories, clarifying that the statement doesn't revisit the matters addressed in the 2009 ELCA Social Statement on Human Sexuality, and changing the title to remove the word Lutheran, making clear that the statement also speaks to public and ecumenical audiences. Recommended assembly action included calling on the office of the presiding bishop in collaboration with its appropriate units and churchwide organizations to establish processes for implementation of accountability for these resolutions. Many voting members and guests displayed tears and joy after the statement was adopted. Following the vote, the assembly rose and sang Canticle of Turning, featuring the chorus, "My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn." Then, after receiving greetings from ecumenical and interreligious guests who spoke about the significance of their relationships with the ELCA, the assembly adopted a Declaration of Interreligious Commitment. 39 ecumenical and interreligious guests were on stage during the vote. The policy statement contains 12 commitments the Church will hold in common to guide work and use as a measure of accountability to interreligious partners. The call for an official statement first came in 1991. At the 2016 ELCA Churchwide Assembly, Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton announced her appointment of a task force to create the draft. In an introduction before the vote, she said, "In a time marked by unprecedented extremism, as well as unprecedented interreligious peace-building, affirming this church's vision for and commitment to interreligious relations is itself an act of Christian witness." An amendment that expressed concern about parts of the document being inconsistent with God's Word was defeated by both the ad hoc committee and assembly. Several people spoke in favor of the declaration, including Emily Shipman, a pastor in the Western North Dakota Synod. She told of her internship experience in Malaysia and the hospitality she received there from people who practice other religions. In an earlier hearing on the statement, Wayne Miller, then bishop of the Metropolitan Chicago Synod, thanked the task force for its work. "This document is a profound witness of who we are as ELCA Lutherans. In an urban metro context like ours, this is invaluable. It's so important to have a tool like this to cut through dangerous misunderstanding that goes on." In addressing questions about evangelism during the plenary session, Patricia Lull, Bishop of the St. Paul Area Synod and Chair of the Task Force, said it's a both-and document. both a reflection of the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We have a scriptural basis for doing two things and doing them at the same time, she said. We are to invite others into the life of Christ, and we're to respect and serve all our neighbors. Kathy Laurie, assistant to the presiding bishop and executive for ecumenical and interreligious relations, said the adoption of the statement affirmed the church's long-standing interreligious work and served as an invitation for those new to the work. In places where interreligious relations do not exist or need more encouragement, we hope that synod bishops and the Lutheran Ecumenical and Interreligious Representatives Network will encourage people to engage in study and reflection, and then in dialogue and service with their neighbors, she said. Then, in an amendment to the Constitution's bylaws and continuing resolutions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Assembly voted 779-105 to make ordination the entrance rite for ministers of word and service. This vote followed a 2016 Churchwide Assembly decision that authorized the creation of the roster of ministers of word and service called deacons, which merged three lay rosters into one. That assembly also endorsed consecration as the recommended entrance rite for an interim period. After 6 years of considering the language, the Entrance Rite Discernment Group recommended that ordination be the rite of setting apart both ministers of word and sacrament and ministers of word and service. The group also recommended that deacons no longer be counted as laypeople for representational principles, which the Assembly approved in another amendment to the ELCA Constitution. Much discussion occurred prior to the vote on the entrance rite, including a standing-room-only hearing. Several people expressed concern that using the same terminology for both rosters would create confusion about the distinction between them. Paul Erickson, bishop of the Greater Milwaukee Synod, asked that the amendment be removed from en bloc for separate consideration, saying he heard many concerns about the potential for confusion if the rite was changed. "I understand ordination and consecration are pretty much the same, a setting apart," he said, "but the distinction between service and sacrament is more easily maintained if we have separate terminology." Others felt this concern showed how the ELCA has more opportunity to educate people about the distinct roles of ministers of word and service. Vicki Hanrahan, a deacon from the South Central Synod of Wisconsin, said, "The people who ask about the differences deserve a better answer than saying a pastor is ordained and a deacon is commissioned." Some deacons, who spoke in favor of the amendment, said they hadn't been able to apply for certain jobs or grants because some institutions, particularly healthcare facilities, don't recognize terms other than ordained regarding calls to public ministry. On August 9th, the Churchwide Assembly adopted the Strategy Toward Authentic Diversity in the ELCA, consisting of a report and recommendations of how the ELCA can exhibit and formulate goals for authentic racial and ethnic diversity. The 2016 Churchwide Assembly approved continuing resolutions calling for each of the church's expressions to annually assess its ethnic and racial diversity when compared to the demographic data of its community or territory. The churchwide organization was to work with synods as they assisted congregations in achieving those goals. The 2016 resolutions also directed the ELCA Church Council to form a task force for strategic authentic diversity to develop a comprehensive set of strategies for equipping congregations and synods in the work of becoming a more authentically diverse church. In April 2019, the task force's report and recommendations were adopted by the council, which recommended them to the Churchwide Assembly. In an introduction to the strategy, task force member Priscilla Austin from the Northwest Washington Synod named the document's five focus areas with accompanying recommendations: theological framing and equipping, healing action, structural accountability, theological education, and partnership with Full Communion ecumenical and interreligious partners. Together, these five strategic areas represent the basis of a change of hearts and minds, how we collectively think about ethnic diversity and inclusivity in the ELCA. Among the strategy's recommended actions was a call upon the Office of the Presiding Bishop in collaboration with appropriate units in the churchwide organization to establish and oversee processes for consideration, assignment, implementation of, and accountability for these recommendations identified to churchwide organizations and to report regularly to the Church Council. Four voting members spoke in favor of the motion, including Don Roginski of the Sierra Pacific Synod, who brought a letter of support from the LGBTQ candidates for rostered ministry. "We know that our liberation is bound up in that of each other," she said. The Churchwide Assembly also adopted en bloc 25 memorials on topics such as gun violence, gender identity, engagement in the Holy Land, and seminary tuition. Memorials address broad policy issues or programs that relate to important missions of the Church as God's witness in the world. A memorial originates from a congregation, is sent to a synod assembly for adoption, and then going to churchwide assembly for consideration. Memorials removed for separate considerations and the action taken include peace building, declined to take any action regarding the creation of the U.S. Department of Peacebuilding. Poor People's Campaign affirmed after defeating an amendment calling for the ELCA to endorse the National Poor People's Campaign, the ELCA Church Council's actions to recognize the importance of the campaign, support its vision and goals that align with ELCA's social teaching, and encourage participation in the issues of witness to call for God's justice and love. Sanctuary reaffirmed after much floor discussion and two amendments, the ELCA's longstanding commitment to migrants and refugees, requested that appropriate churchwide staff developmental education and discernment tools around sanctuary, declared the ELCA a sanctuary church body, and requested that the Church Council provide guidance about what it means to be a sanctuary church body. Sanctuary is a response to the struggles of immigrants and refugees, a strategy to advocate for and amplify immigrant voices, a vision for what our communities and world can be, and a moral imperative to take prophetic action of radical hospitality rooted in the ancient traditions of our Church, said Christopher Vergara of the Metropolitan New York Synod, who presented the amendment to declare the ELCA church body a sanctuary one. Church and State called for the development of a social statement on the role of government, the nature of civic engagement, and the relationship of church and state, and a social message on public church, the vocation of citizenship, and relationship of church and state. I think it's urgent that we tackle this problem in a day when we have so many voices out there regarding the role of religion in the public sphere, the role of Christian nationalism, the role of advocacy from religious perspectives, and we need to have a clear voice and message from what this Church believes is relevant and up to date for our time and place, said Peter Metcalf of the Montana Synod. Migrants encouraged ELCA members to use existing social teaching policies as guides to address harmful political rhetoric against migrants, and to request that appropriate churchwide units develop a plan for additional tools to provide education around political rhetoric and the accurate portrayal of migrants and refugees. Healthcare benefits directed the Church Council, in partnership with the Conference of Bishops and Portico Benefit Services, to review the Council's recommendation for Gold Plus coverage for all rostered ministers and ELCA employees, and to develop a health insurance coverage recommendation by the Church Council 2020 Spring Meeting for 2021 enrollment. Ordination of Women encouraged all synods and congregations to commemorate the 50th anniversary of ELCA's ordination of women in 2020. the 40th anniversary of the ordination of women in color in the Lutheran tradition, and the 10th anniversary of the ELCA's decision to remove barriers to ordination for people in same-gender relationships. Call to edit sexually social statement. Voted to indefinitely postpone a memorial to edit the ELCA's human sexuality statement. The Assembly adopted three resolutions, including a commitment to support the World Council of Churches' Thursdays in Black campaign toward a world without rape and violence. Other resolutions were referred to the Church Council for later action. Resolutions for the whole church recommend a specific action to be taken by the ELCA via the churchwide organization and are adopted by synod councils, then passed on to the church council. The two additional resolutions adopted were Day of Repentance. They voted to commemorate June 17th as a day of repentance for the martyrdom of Emmanuel Nine, the nine people who were shot and killed by an ELCA member in June of 2015 during a Bible study at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. The resolution also called for the development of worship resources around repentance from racism and for deepening conversations with the AME Church. Speaking to the resolution she submitted, Kwame Pitts, a pastor in the upstate New York Synod, said, "How can we heal, church? How can we make an actual powerful statement to the world about how we honor their memory and be empowered to live out our faith through action than through our liturgy, through worship?" White supremacy. Condemned, 893-5, white supremacy, calling all ELCA congregations to engage in a study of the structures and rhetoric that empower and fuel racism and white supremacy, and to take to heart the teaching of scriptures so that we all may be better equipped to speak boldly about the equal dignity of all persons in the eyes of God. The resolution also states, language that refers to people of color or immigrants with words like invasion or infestation or white replacement is racism, and we condemn it. Addressing the Churchwide Assembly, Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton reported on the ELCA's missional identity and goals for the future. "We are church," she declared, naming the Assembly's theme and her first of four emphases. "The church's unique mission," she says, "is to preach the gospel purely and to administer the sacraments rightly. No other institution has been called by God to do this ministry." Eaton spoke on Future Directions 2025, a set of ministry priorities approved by Church Council in November of 2016. They call on the ELCA to become a thriving church, an equipping church, a welcoming church, a visible church, and a well-governed, connected, and sustainable church. She directed the Assembly to five videos, each corresponding to Future Directions 2025 goal and showing what God is up to in the world and this church. Voting members and guests learned about the Neighborhood Church in Bentonville, Arkansas, the Youth Leadership Summit, the Welcome Church Philadelphia, Amparo Ministry in Honduras, and the Hope in the Heartland event in South Dakota. Eaton concluded, "Dear church, it's time to come back to the center, to the incarnate one laid in a wooden manger, to the glorified one raised on a wooden cross, to the fierce tender love of God that the tomb could not restrain. God waits for us there, the source of our life, who gives integrity and power to our works of love and justice. We can't do this on our own. Let's come back to the center." Bill Horn, ELCA Vice President, opened his report to the Assembly with a reading from Galatians that spoke of the oneness found in Christ. This message was a common thread throughout his report, as he said the divisiveness in the country right now compels him to pursue a life of unity. "I've been fortunate to witness our members consistently emphasizing their unity is in Christ as the common identity that we all share as Lutherans," he said. "The communities we serve challenge us to live in this belief in everything we do." In considering the work of the church and the strategies of Future Directions 2025, Horn urged assembly participants to find an area that excites them and get involved. He challenged the church to ponder what the ELCA does to express Christ's love in the world that goes unnoticed, and to have more conversations about being church for the sake of the world in congregations. We are all quite eloquent at times, articulating the importance and significance of doing social justice and confronting all isms that hurt us, but we don't often want to dismantle or rework the framework that keeps us in bondage, he said. Conversations on critical topics might be painful, but necessary, he added. When we focus on the world, the meaning of our baptism and the Eucharist, our life as Christians and our service to our neighbor, being of one mind, helps us to navigate through the rough spots in living with each other. During his final churchwide assembly report as ELCA secretary, Chris Berger, who is retiring this fall, explained the responsibilities of the office, outlined actions that were coming before the assembly, and gave updates on actions taken by the 2016 ELCA churchwide assembly. One of those updates referenced a commitment for congregations to reflect the ethnic and racial diversity of their communities. On this, he said, little progress has been made, noting that at the end of 2015, the ELCA was 92% white, and at the end of 2018, the church was 94% white. As a white church, we say the right words, he said. We, the majority population of this church, need to do more than talk. If there's need to be a future for this denomination, we need to pay attention to who is living in our neighborhood and our community. With an update that echoed his report from the 2016 assembly, Berger said the ELCA continues to see a decline in baptized membership with a decrease of 2.8% from 2017. We still have 3.4 million members. We are not an insignificant church, he said, adding that 2018 saw a drop in the number of baptisms for children and adults. Our theology speaks of the power and the gift of baptism. How we share that gift and invite others to receive it is a question we should ask. Berger ended his report by thanking ELCA members for entrusting him with the office of secretary. He said, I've often said that it's wonderful to have your favorite call as your last call. We are the clay jars that God has chosen to use to proclaim the gospel to this time and in our individual contexts. ELCA Treasurer Lori Fettig reported that since the ELCA's 2016 churchwide assembly, more than $5.2 billion has been given as regular Sunday offerings. Over the last 3 years, each year's expenses were at or below the approved spending authorization. Fettig reported that while mission support, a portion of the offerings the congregation share with synods and the churchwide organization, represents the largest component of revenues, it continues to decline. It represented 62% of total income of the churchwide organization for 2018, down from 70% in 2012. While mission support has declined with an average of $1.1 million annually over the last 5 years, Fettig reported that individual giving trends to congregations have increased slightly. Mission support enables the churchwide organizations to fund local and global ministries, and Fettig encouraged the assembly to think about how small changes can have significant impacts. We are so grateful for your gifts, which enable this work, she said. We also recognize that each of the three expressions, congregation, synods, and the churchwide organization, make prayerful decisions throughout each year as it relates to what work we can continue to support based on declining mission support. Fettig also reported that over 2016 to 2018, ELCA World Hunger received nearly $67 million and Lutheran Disaster Response received $41 million. We take very seriously our responsibility to faithfully steward the resources we've been entrusted to us by our congregations and our synods. Without you, we could not do this work. The Assembly approved the triennium budget for the coming years, It includes a current fund spending authorization of $68,378,000 for 2020 and a current fund income proposal of $68,442,000 for 2021 and $68,507,000 for 2022. The budget also includes an ELCA World Hunger Spending Authorization of $21.5 million for 2020 and an income proposal of $21.5 million each year for 2021 and 2022.